Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 2. I want to thank also our orchestra members for playing. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 2. God's given us a wonderful semester. So many wonderful things have taken place. And I started rehearsing some of the speakers that you've had, from Brother Tom Sexton that God used in a special way. And then, of course, Brother Todd Pointer preached a great message on loving people, and had one of our students tell me, the pastor of all the messages this year in chapel, that one was one of the most instrumental ones that really worked in my heart. I think about a sermon I listened to here in chapel by Brother Abdel Judah that God used in a wonderful way, and why the baskets. And then I think of one Brother John Francis, and of course, a burdened man, but realized that the number one thing he learned at Hiles Anderson College was to walk with God. And of course, Brother Ray Young and Brother Douglas has given us tremendous messages. Brother Lutz, Brother Collins, of course, Brother Bailey has preached a couple times. He'll preach again next week. God will use him again. Had numbers of guest speakers. And you've been given much, and I have too. Anytime I hear the word of God, I become instantly responsible. And I'm supposed to respond. And no response is a response. If you sleep through a message, that's your response. If you just say, well, that was good for somebody else, that's your response. If God speaks to you and you don't respond back, that's your response. But all of us ought to be waiting to see what God wants to share with us in a message. Today I want to speak to you a little bit about the relationship between a man and his wife and husband. I believe that these are things that are very important to God's servants. As I listen to many of the podcasts, and I appreciate so very much Brother Collins putting Brother Hiles on the Friday or the Mondays of the broadcast, you can hear Brother Hiles. He preached a great message on time management and wasting time during this semester, and I hope you will listen to those. But I also am very burdened because much has been determined in the future of young people and their ministry based upon their husband or their wife. Outside of getting saved, it's one of life's most important decisions. Now, most people will get married. Most of you will. The majority of the people, marriage is the rule. Singleness is the exception. Both are a gift. If God lets you get married, it's a gift to the Lord. The Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So to be married is a gift. To be single is a gift, and nor should we in any way ever look down on someone who lives single for the Lord. God has not chosen every single person to get married. Most will in the will of God, but occasionally we find Jeremiah did not get married. God told him, I'm going to ask you to live for me without a wife. Ezekiel's wife died in the eve. In the morning he did as God commanded him to do. Paul lived his life unmarried. Many other people, the Lord Jesus obviously was not married. Peter was. And God uses married folks. He uses single folks. But most of you will be married. Most of you want to be married. And there will be a few, and if you don't, if God did not put in you that desire for companionship and even intimacy that comes with the marriage responsibility, don't feel like you're weird or different. You're not. And I think a lot of times, sometimes people, they go into homosexual lifestyles not out of attraction, but out of acceptance. They don't feel accepted in Christian circles because people give them a hard time and aggravate them and tease them. And by the way, let me just tell you something when it comes to teasing. It's not fun if it's not fun for everybody. Okay? And some of you, oh yeah, he understands. He's like, he understands. Maybe they do and maybe they don't. Somebody can laugh at your joke at them and really be hurting and crying on the inside. You got to be very careful, young people, about that. Be careful that you're not, and usually pride makes me feel more arrogant, maybe a little more condescending. And some folks, they might learn to laugh. They might have developed the hide of rhinoceros to take jokes about their race or about their height or about their their academician or whatever, their lack of skills maybe in coordination, and they might be able to laugh along with you, and that might be okay, but they may not be. They may not be laughing on the inside. You and I can be hurtful to them, but especially you should never, in my opinion, make fun of a surrendered single servant. And I think no one deserves more honor than the men and women who walk alone with the Lord. I think it'd be a very good idea if you find someone, don't ever say, what's wrong with you? Are you gay? What's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? Are you weird? Are you? Don't do that. By the way, homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. And if you find yourself with inclinations in that way, and there have been students in the past, there have been folks maybe sitting here, maybe because of things that have happened to you, maybe some things that have taken place, that is a sin against God. It's an abomination. It will bring great judgment on you. But may I say to you, just because someone is not necessarily pursuing a spouse currently or pursuing a relation does not make them that way. And you're an idiot, in my opinion. I say that in Christian love. To aggravate and tease someone like that. Don't do that. You ought to be an exhorter of the brethren. You ought to be encouraging them. And finding a spouse is not necessarily a hard thing, because when we marry in the Lord. But it's also a challenging thing. And you, your chances to get married about one in about 3.5 billion people. God knows how to bring you to the person you need, and knows how to bring the person you need to you. And I think this is very important. It's a little confusing. We live in a world that it promotes dating, and dating is not wrong. There's not a right or wrong way necessarily to fall in love with somebody, okay? Some people, they're really heavy on courtship and really heavy with moms and dads kind of arranging and doing all that. And I'm not against that. That's fine. That's fine. I think that's a great way. I don't think it's every way that people get married. I think someone to put someone in that particular well, this is the only way to do it, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you ought to be careful with the dating scene. And like, I'm just gonna develop all these emotional relationships and then I'm gonna settle in one at the end. I think there can challenges to that, because even if you're not physically intimate, you can become emotionally involved and giving your heart away and your emotions and sharing very personal things, and then later on, whenever there's a separation, it gets a little challenging for you emotionally that way. But those things do happen, and they can happen the will of God. Sometimes people develop relationships, deep relationships, that as time goes on, be it moms or dads or futures or decisions or things of that nature, the Bible's very clear that we don't know everybody from their first few times we're with them. Some men's sins are very obvious at front. The Bible tells in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Other people's sins come after. It takes a little while. They have masked it. They've masked motives with activity and things of that nature. But learning to ask the Lord for wisdom, and I do believe if you'll fall asleep in the will of God, God will wake you up with the person God wants you to be with. And I don't think necessarily that means I don't do anything. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God to know where God is directing your heart. It's more challenging for the girls, because girls not necessarily are being proactive and trying to go ask every guy. It is primarily the guy who pursues. We love Christ because he's the initiator. And the husband and the man is the initiator. That's a biblical biblical principle. I think it is best. I think you have to trust the Lord and wait for the Lord, and don't get discouraged. If you don't find a husband or wife in 4 years of Bible college, it does not mean you're out of the will of God. At the same time, there's some of you, this is your window. This is your parentheses of life where, and especially I talk to your young men, you need to be what you ought to be, but you ought to always be alert. So when we have these activities to Christmas lights, or doing October Harvest Fest, or opportunities to go to a ball game, or things of that nature, or a bus banquet, or things that go with that. Those are opportunities that you have to develop some chivalry, to develop some characteristics, some social skills to greet someone, to meet someone. Does it not mean because you ask someone out, they become your life's mate? I do think that every date is a potential mate, so that needs to factor in regards to that. But I do believe that God knows what you need. This is a parenthesis of life where optimally it's best if you can find someone most of the time. Once again, it's not a foolproof, because God may have your spouse outside of this college, may have it at the school you teach at or the ministry you go to, or it might have it at your home church. But if you can, if the Lord allows you, for many of us who have found our spouse here, that was one of the first things that Brother Harold said at the microphone today. I came here, and one of the greatest things I got at Hiles Anderson College was I found the Lord brought me to my wife here. And that's good. That's a good thing. I think that many of us in ministry now, we had people that knew what it was to work on the bus route, knew what it was to be in the Sunday schools and to give themselves. And when you're young, you need to develop your, it's good for a man to bear his yoke when? In his youth, okay? By the way, I just encourage you, when you get married, you need to continue to stay in the yoke. Stay in the yoke. Work through things. We'll talk about that in a few moments because I want to help you. I'm not trying to torture your life. But any man of God or woman of God worth their weight in salt is a busy man or woman. It is not like, okay, I can't wait to get out of the college and I can just rest. Okay? I think John Wilkerson, and I'm not the greatest example, but I have been busy my entire adult life. I didn't become busy when I became the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. I was busy when I was a teacher at City Baptist School. And I worked there. I painted at nighttime. Attorney offices downtown Chicago. I drove the City Baptist bus. I was a bus captain for 103 there in South Chicago. Linda and I, we learned to do it together. I was busy when I moved to Long Beach, California. Had to really go to my pastor and say, Pastor, I'm teaching every day, and you want me to do the sports program. I've done the sports program. Brother Andy was in that basketball team that I coached and took them different places in Southern California to play basketball and football and things of that nature. Pastor gave me 9 bus routes to oversee on Saturday, and that grew to 13 bus routes, and we had to get CHP inspections, and there was a lot of things. And then he said, you know, John, I need you to lead the singing for the church and help me with my Sunday school class, and later on would give me my own Sunday school class. There was a lot of things going, balancing a lot of things. And I'm thankful that Linda stayed with me and she worked with me, and yes, we had to make adjustments, and you can have a strong ministry and a strong family at the same time. Now, you're going to need balance, and balance comes as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. But if you just want a white picket fence, you want a nice house, and you want supper every single night together, and you want things just to be the same, there are some things you're going to have to iron out in your mind, because it's not always that way. Ministry is not that way. And you can do that, but you're going to have a limited amount of influence. If people say, well, we got to have me time. Now, you're going to have me time. And that's a buzzword today that's, I think, strangely weird and different. And I think it short sheets you from being what you ought to be. You're going to have to take time to come apart, or your marriage will come apart. You have to take time to date someone, or you're not going to develop the relationship that you need to have with your future mate, or your mate as it is. But there are several things that are biblical in principle, and I want to just relay them to you today. We're in Genesis chapter 2, and we'll talk about some of these matters in a few moments. Look at Genesis chapter 2, if you would please, and let's look at verse number 15. And the Lord God took a man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now that, just real quickly, I want to tell you that is why God put Adam, first of all, he gave him 3 things. He gave him responsibility. In just a moment, you're going to see that he gives him a rule, and then he gives him a relationship. God makes man for a responsibility. Responsibility and manhood go together. Every man who's a bus captain or a bus worker ought to find somewhat of his, um, his fulfillment in how things are going on that bus route. When I get with other, when I get with other people, people ask me, what do I do for a living? I ask another man, what's he do for a living? Why? Because a man finds responsibility, his fulfillment. Notice he does have a wife. He does have children. He does have other things. And his walk with God is number one. But God made a man, he said, put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. I love it when a man takes ownership of what God has given them. And every woman who marries a man who is responsible and focuses on responsibility is a blessed woman. Because the higher your man goes, the more responsible he is, the more God gives him more to do, and the higher you go in that union. And the more eternally significant you will, your work will be, and the more rewarded you will be. One of the things I think about Linda is I want Linda to be a rewarded lady, not only here, but in heaven. There's no one on the planet I love any more than Linda. But I want her to be a rewarded lady. I want her to hear Jesus say, well done, Linda, you did a good job. And when I came to Jesus, he made me better. When Jesus came to me, I want to make her better. I want to make her life better now. I want to make her life better in eternity. But a lot of that depends upon her. I can only lead Linda as she lets me. I can only lead the First Baptist Church because they let me. I can't make her do things. She has a will of her own, but she has to choose to allow me to lead her, and I need to demonstrate a tremendous amount of love so that she trusts my leadership. We'll talk about the roles in marriage maybe in another chapel time. Our time is going to go by quickly. But God gives a man a responsibility. And every girl needs to understand that. Every young man needs to understand that. The number two, God gave a man and he gave him a rule. He said, every fruit tree you can eat in the Garden of Eden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 17, don't eat that tree. That's a rule. By the way, life has rules. God has rules. We learned even Sunday how that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they kept God's commandments and they obeyed his ordinances. Whatever his rules were, they did it. They were blameless. And this is a wonderful testimony today. It's a great parenthesis for our chapel. If you think you're going to go to the Christmas lights and you all split up after you know you're supposed to stay together, you say, I'm going to walk outside the ordinances that I've been laid out. Okay? You can do that and no one will ever know, but you will. God will. So, well, I want God to use me. If you're not going to keep the ordinances, you're not be blameless there before the Lord. How in the world do you want the power of God upon your life whenever you decide to flip your finger and say, bring it on, Lord? Whenever you have not been blameless in keeping commandments and ordinances. Every rule in this college is there to help you and to confine you to a place that will protect you, but also break down your rebelliousness. You're willing to want to work outside the realm that you've been given to jump the fence, keeping the ordinances. And God gave Adam a rule. And then he gave him a responsibility. He gave him a responsibility, he gave him a rule, then he gave him a relationship. One that would always be with God, number one, and then it would be with Eve, number two. The Bible looked at Adam, and God looked at him in verse number 18, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. He said, Adam will not be good by himself. And that is the truth for most every human man. He's not good by himself. He needs someone else to go with him. He does better when there's someone else with him. And that's one of the things in ministry that you girls need to keep in mind. And God called a man for a garden. God called a woman to be a help with him in that garden. And you're going to find blessings in that garden. Because he'll do what God wants him to do, but you've got to figure that out. And God made the man. The Bible's very clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, look, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Because the head of every woman is the man. The head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God the Father. God puts some things together, which bring us to three things that everyone needs to figure out before you get married. And that is authority, submission, and unity. Every marriage that is honoring the Lord is going to understand authority, submission, and unity. Every institution This institution needs a president that will lead. It needs administration and faculty and staff that will follow. It needs students that will follow the president, the faculty and staff, and the administration. And there has to be, if we're going to have success in any way, one of the reasons why I believe God gave us such a fruitful tournament is because we had a leader, and the leader recruited followers, and followers said, I'll help, and everybody did what they needed to do, and when they walked out, everybody got home, got taken care of, the tournament went off because there was leadership, there was authority, there was submission, and then there was unity that had to be endeavored to work in. And young people, if you do not understand authority, if you struggle with submission, you're also going to struggle with unity, and you're going to be a lousy wife and a lousy husband. And you'll be a ball in the chain to the ministry, to the pastor, to the husband, to the wife that you have to serve with. And you'll be a reason why people will blaspheme the name of God and His doctrine if you do not learn. You can look in the book of Timothy and Titus, where the Bible says a wife should lovingly submit to her husband, take care of her children, be a blessing, not a burden, be a compliment, not a competitor, not compete with him, but complete him. Why? So that the gospel can go forth. So that people, when they see a submissive young woman, they'll say, that girl, her husband is so much, so blessed to have her because she helps him. She doesn't compete. She doesn't complicate, she completes and assists. And in doing that, the world sees that. I have a neighbor, and I'll close with this, our time is up. But I have a neighbor who is not a Christian in any way, shape, or form. And she's just not. She's hurting. She's not saved, and she's miserable at the time. But one of the things that she cannot get over is my wife, Linda, and her response to me and our children. She just says, wow. She longs for that. She's in a different lifestyle completely than our lifestyle, but it's very attractive to her. And if she ever gets saved, large in part, it'll not be because she lived next to a pastor. It's because she lived next to Linda Wilkerson. Someone that she sees does not compete, but completes. And when she hears the gospel, she's not going to think about this person, that person. She used to think about pastors that ripped her grandmother off in Chicago and Christians who say they're Christians at work, but they do the same thing she does, and they drink the same alcohol, and they do all this. There's no difference. But if she ever comes to the Lord, she's going to think about her next-door neighbor, Linda, and how that she is so happy being under submission to the husband she lives with, being a lover of her children, being a caretaker for her home, making meals, keeping a clean house, being a gracious person. These are things I want to encourage you to learn. We'll talk more about them in another chapel. Let's pray together, can we? Father, thank you for the joy of just sharing these moments. I believe every young person needs this. There's some men in this room, Lord, they're going to be lousy husbands unless they realize what real submission is, what real authority is. Some of them think it's their way or the highway. That leadership is telling. You do this, you do this, you do this, rather than show and tell. Rather than love, sacrifice, giving, service. I do pray that, God, you would make our men godly men, great husbands. I pray they'd be great examples. May none of us be a ball and chain to the ministry that we got into this thing to assist and to help. I pray you bless the young people. Lord, we can't even get our prayers answered if we're not good husbands. Sweet wives, we were praying almost in vain. Our prayers are hindered unless we learn the errors of faith that we are with the spouse. Help those who are dating. Help those who are not dating. Comfort them. And I pray you'd help others, Lord, to begin to say, Lord, lead me, direct me to the person you need me to spend time with. I pray that girls would pray, Lord, make me a completer. Not, I want security, I want significance, I need somebody to take care of me, but may they look to say, who can I help in this lifetime? And may guys be thinking of someone that they could also love right up to the judgment seat of Christ. Bless us, I pray, and help us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you very much, Dan. If you would, please, we'll dismiss momentarily.